Greetings again, everyone. Open your Bibles now to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. Be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along as you know the routine. Because of the nature of our study, as we're going through Proverbs, grabbing a theme, trying to deal with the major verses, if not all the verses, a given subject, and I put them on the inside for you to follow along. You can take notes here as well. I'm talking about a subject that very important because everybody strives to gain wealth in their life, to get ahead, provide for their needs, to get their houses and passed on to their children and minister to those in need, a lot of different reasons. And so I have simply entitled what Proverbs teaches, which is consistent throughout Scripture, wisdom in gaining and using wealth. God is not only concerned that you have a job, but how you do that job and what kind of job you do, and when you get results or wages from that job, how you are a steward with what you have been granted and given through that. There is much talk today, and the spirit of the age is, the money I earn is mine and I can do as I please. And that is incorrect if you're a Christian. That is incorrect. That is faulty thinking. That is not correct. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to be with us this morning as we deal with that very applicable subject this morning. Father, we come before You. Again, thank You for this day. We're here on this day. This is Your day. You have called it together. You have called it together and instructed us how and what to do when we are together. We have sung Your praises. We have lifted You up in prayer. We have read Your word. Now we come to the exposition and the preaching of it. May it be done in the power of the Spirit with clarity, with plainness, with accuracy, with Your original intent. Father, we pray that we would receive Your word. We would receive it, accept it as the Thessalonian did, the word of God. That we would truly obey it and understand the authority of it. And when we do, we are blessed. But Lord, the world always has their opinion. They always have their view of things that are erroneous, false, and contrary to Your will and ways. And consequently, it leads a lot of people astray. Some to hardship and sorrow and pain. The world promotes all kinds of sin in regards to wealth. They think nothing of covetousness and greed. And yet You have made it abundantly clear it is sin. It is idolatry. And Lord, we have often seeped some of the spirit of the world into our own thinking regarding money and wealth and work. And so, Father, we pray that You use Your word to help us, to recenter us, to reset us back to Your purposes and Your design for economy and for gaining one's wealth and treasures and revenues and whatever word we want to use. But, Lord, we pray above all that we would hear. You have promised those who hear, let them hear. And those who see, let them see. And may we truly see with eyes and ears open by the Spirit through the Word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. While Israel's wisdom teachers were sure, listen carefully, that wealth was a fruit of wisdom, they were equally sure that not all wealth was wisdom fruit. Meaning, if you follow the path of wisdom and you do what wisdom says regarding wealth and work and jobs and so on and so forth, you will get yourself a sense of wealth and resources and revenues and treasure, to all the different words that are used throughout Proverbs. However, all the gaining of wealth has not always gone in the path of wisdom. That's why I stated it this way, that wealth is the fruit of wisdom, but they are equally sure that not all wealth was wisdom's fruit, because some people got wealth by stealing and robbing and killing and all kinds of ungodly means to gain wealth. That's not wisdom's path. So you can't look at somebody just because they're wealthy, they have to be wise in the Lord. No, God is concerned how as much as getting it. And so he goes on to say, and I go on to say this, that how a man acquires, handles, and disperses his wealth must be right in the sight of God and according to his word. The following words in Proverbs showed God's concern about money and how we gain it and use it. He used a term like wealth, prosperity, profit, increase, plenty, wages, revenue, rich, inheritance, and treasure. All of these things, because when you leave your home and start your own family and your own life, at the end of the day, you gotta get your resources to take care of your needs, and you take care of your family and those around you. And we all have to pursue it, but God wanted to do it in an honorable way and in a way that honors and glorifies Him. So I open it up with the first point by simply saying how to rightly make our wealth. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 4. You can either look at where I asked you to start with, or you can open up in your outline. Proverbs 10:4 says this: He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 14:23: In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. What we have to understand when we look at these verses and others as we go through this study, there is a right and wrong way to pursue our fortune. You can make money in an evil as well as a good enterprise. You can gain great wealth and yet compromise your conscience and your Christian testimony, which is not wisdom's path. We may be good at our job, but that may not please the Lord, because that job you're doing is harmful or sinful in your product or service. Even when you claim, I'm just doing my job, it's not going to cut it with the Lord. You are responsible for your choice in your career and your job, how you do it, and what kind of job it is. There are some jobs that is not fitting for a Christian to take. I'm not here to give you a checklist. That's between you and the Lord, to know His word and to study things out as it is taught. So when we choose a career path or job, we are to do an honest day's work, and the work itself must be pleasing to the Lord. We cannot work for an employer or as a business person that violates our conscience. It's just because you're trying to raise the money, make revenue and resources. Don't violate your conscience in doing it. Don't go against God's word in doing it. Our work must not be harmful of others, must not be immoral, or provide something or a service that leads to sin. For example, being a doctor is a wonderful profession. But a doctor who performed abortion is murder. Being a journalist is a needed vocation. But if you write to poison people's mind with sin and falsehood that leads people away from the truth and God, it's a miscarriage of your job as a reporter. And the list goes on and on, where you got the right and right use of that job, a reputable job, honorable job, good job, if it's done right. Sometimes you can have a job that's a good job, but you have a boss that wants you to violate your conscience in carrying out your job. And you have to refrain from doing that. And I know all the reason and all the pressure, but I got 23 years of retirement built into this. At the end of the day, who takes care of you? The Lord or your retirement? That fundamentally what it's at. And so we should work, save, and spend in that mindset and not fall on some Mr. Worldly Wise Man way of thinking, of doing things, because you become a slave to the system, you're a slave to work, and a slave to those around you, when the only one we're a slave to is God Himself in giving of our lives. All our wealth must be gotten through hard work. We must be diligent in our calling. If you noted Proverbs 10, verse 4, that's the first one I called to look at. It says that he who had a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent make rich. One of the key things that God is concerned is whatever you do, whatever your job is, whatever your ministry, whatever your calling is, you need to do it with diligence. You need to work hard at it. You don't work at the slugger. You're not lazy. You're not slothful. You're not just getting through. You're not just getting by. You're just not doing the job description. You want to do the best you can do that God had given you the ability to do. The word diligent is the idea to describe the action of a person that does their work skillfully, efficiently, and useful. And they're useful. What good is it to be skillful and efficient in something that means absolutely nothing? Produces nothing. And I might even add, the idea of the word diligent is the idea of a sense of urgency, a sense of, not coasting and along. It's the idea, efficient gives you the idea of working with, I call it, you work with an itch, you work with intensity and give it your best. But sometimes we don't do that. John Kitchen said this, that by on that word, Solomon here portrayed not the workaholic, but the one who takes seriously his employment and gives it his best effort. You want to be good at what you do. You want to be efficient at what you do. You want to make a difference. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Proverbs 13, verse 4 says this, the soul of a lazy man desired and had nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Now, whatever you think of the idea of rich is a general term. And we're not talking about super rich where you can be so rich you don't have to work. God never really intended us to stop working. We have in America made an idol out of retirement. Nothing against people who are retired. You worked hard and so on and so forth. But sometimes we live for it instead of realizing that there's still a lot of work to do for the kingdom, and you still have a lot of years of usefulness that you can find elsewhere if it's not employment. But the idea here, lazy people in contrast to the diligent person. Lazy people have come to nothing, poverty. You don't get anything if you don't put anything into it. You don't get something for nothing. And it's important that you work hard and you play and you be diligent about it. Proverbs 13, verse 11, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathered by labor will increase. Don't be afraid of hard work. Don't be afraid of putting in the extra. Proverbs 14, verse 23, in all labor there is profit. Idle chatter leads only to poverty. You know, a lot of times you get guys talking on the job site, talking too much, and there's an old saying, don't get a lot of work done when you're chattering, when you're talking. Work doesn't get done that way. There's a time to talk and there's a time to work. And here he's talking about, in all labor there's profit. Whenever you move forward and labor and work hard, progress is made, profit is gained. Proverbs 21, verse 5, the plan of the diligent leads surely to plenty. But those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. In other words, the idea there, some people want to get rich quick. And so they're going to try to shortcut it. And they're trying to, and a lot of times you're going to violate your conscience. You're going to break God's law in trying to get wealthy quick. There's no easy way, if you start at ground zero, to gain in time your wealth, your riches, your treasures, your resources that you have for your family and for the use of other things. And it's important that we're aware of that. We need to understand that at the end of our life, we're not only going to give an account of our life, we're going to give account of our work. And we need to make sure that our work is good. We did it in a good way. And we gave our employer the best. People who are diligent usually often acquire much wealth. Those who work hard, I mean, people who have done well, you look at them, they were frugal, they were thrifty with their resources, they worked hard. It's important that we understand that that comes about not through laziness, but through diligence. In other words, there are no shortcuts to gaining wealth. Never cheat. Don't run over people. You don't use deception along the way. You don't steal. You don't gain with unjust gain. And the list goes on. Our work must be consistent, beloved, with fearing the Lord. It must be consistent with fearing the Lord and righteousness and integrity. All of those. Listen to these. You remember I said throughout the Proverbs, and there are these, the better than Proverbs, where they're the contrast that this is better than, and it was showing the difference between wisdom and folly. Here are three of them regarding the fear of the Lord, righteousness, and integrity. Here's one. Proverbs 15, verse 16 and 17. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herb where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Proverbs 16:8. Better is a little with righteousness than a vast revenue without justice. Proverbs 28:6. Better is the poor who walk in their integrity than one pervert in his way, though he be rich. So it's never right to gain wealth and be rich and have resources if you did it all wrong. If you did it your way without the fear of the Lord. If you didn't do it, you did it in wickedness instead of righteousness. You did it being dishonest and unfaithful and not a man or a woman of integrity. It is important that we are to be always gaining and pursuing this, our wealth and our resources and our revenue based on the fear of the Lord and living the life of a Christian. Or using Proverbs in the way of wisdom. Godly wisdom. Another thing I thought was real good was we must be faithful. Here's a good verse. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessing, but he who hasteneth to be rich will go unpunished. The idea, again, gaining wealth is a test of endurance. It is a marathon. It's a lifelong gathering and working and planning and staying the course and being consistent and being faithful. Not bliss here and a bliss there or even going overboard in the idea of becoming a workaholic or you become totally consumed with being rich. That the end goal of all of life is money and as much as I can get and acquire. No, the idea of faithful not only means faithful during the task and duration and being diligent, but it means faithful not only, I like to use the idea, not faithful like in the concept of a company man, but to be faithful in every area the Lord had called it to, including our work. We're to work hard, but we're to be faithful to the Lord above all. How many times did people work so hard that they became unfaithful to the Lord, neglected the means of grace, neglected church, neglected the body of Christ, neglected their Bible reading, neglected being what it means to be a Christian? Or how about how many have the ones who a lot of times really pay the price is their family, people who work so hard to get resources and money and wealth at the expense of time and nurturing and building and strengthening their family and their kids and infusing in them and teaching them and educating them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That takes time. But if all you're living for is the almighty dollar, you're being faithful to that and unfaithful to the other. We need to be faithful in all areas that God has called us to. And we clearly know that God has called us to Himself, to our family, and to our job. And yet sometimes we invert that. So those are some of the attitudes that we need to be concerned with in the proper way and the right way of doing and gaining our wealth. Notice I'm not talking about, oh, I think you ought to do this, that, and the other. One time, Martin Luther had I think they call him a cobbler, the guy who makes and repairs shoes. And he came to me and said, you know, I want to serve the Lord, but all I am is a cobbler. I mean, all I do is fix, repair, and make shoes. And Martin Luther said, you got a great calling. You can give that unto the Lord. And then how can I serve the Lord doing that? How you can serve the Lord is make the best pair of shoes, repair it the best way you can, and give the fairest and right price for the glory of God. And that includes any area in life that is noble and worthy. Point number two. What are your attitudes about riches? There are certain things that we need to be careful and guard in our way of pursuing wealth and riches or gaining what we need to survive and move ahead in life. There are things that we need to have in the way of attitude that is good. I have here Proverbs 13, verse 11, which read, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathered by labor will increase. Again, kind of touch a lot of this stuff is going to overlap, but here we see that we shouldn't gain wealth at any cost. You only do it rightly and honorably and honestly. You work hard. You have to get out there and do it. Gather labor. Those that truly labor and gather labor will increase. But don't do it by dishonesty, because God will see to it that your money diminishes, that you will not be able to get what you need from that. Proverbs 23, verse 4, with another verse I had. It said this one. Here's an attitude we should not have. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Here we need to have the right attitude, and that is, first of all, just starting in general, we must understand that a fundamental attitude is that all wealth and gaining of revenue and resources, even an inheritance to pass on, have to be and is blessed by the Lord. What do I mean? Proverbs 10:22. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich. We gain in our wealth because the Lord had blessed us in our endeavors. Continued that, and he adds no sorrow with it. When you do it unto the Lord, trusting and leaning upon the Lord to bless your labors, he will bless and there will be no sorrow that comes with it. In addition to what I told you of everything in point number one, we must believe and live knowing all good things come from the Lord. We heard that in our scripture reading this morning. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18 says it, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. And I hear all the time, oh, I did it. No, I don't have to thank God for anything because I got it by my own sweat. I'm the one who got up, not God. I went to work and did my time. But God gives you the ability and the power to get it. We must never, as His people, lose sight of that. 1 Samuel 2, verse 7, the Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. And again, restating what James chapter 1, verse 17 said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come down from the Father of light. We know the resources that we need to have our needs met and enjoy life come from our Father in heaven, come down from Him. So because of that, we must not make it our goal to be rich, but to provide for our family and to be able to help those who are in need. That is an important aspect. Too often we have come to depend and rely on the government to take care of the poor when it's the people all around them are supposed to help those who are down and out. Because when you allow a government to do it little by little, piece by piece, as money is allocated toward ministering to those people, they become more powerful and people become more dependent on government instead of God, government instead of people with compassion and love. We already talked about chapter 23, verse 4, do not overwork to be rich. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 through 10 says this, listen to these words, and having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. And yet how often we're dissatisfied when we don't have all of the other things included. But here he said, food and clothing. Verse 9, listen carefully. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, would drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows. It may look innocent that you might think, well, I don't see what greed had anything to do with it. I got news for you. God knows better. And when you're given over to greed and covetousness and envy, and all you can think about is the next buck, no matter what, you hurt people along the way, people that you're supposed to be spending time and nurturing and helping, and meaning family or the people who need to be reached. You're not there because you're making the almighty dollar. God never called us to that. We are the wealthiest nation the world has ever known. And yet we're the most discontent and want more. Because of greed. Beloved, it's okay to work to have extra, save for a rainy day fund or for the future. But to overdo it to become rich has many sorrows with it. Many. Bible makes it clear that we are to be self-sufficient, not dependent upon or become a burden to others. A burden to others with our need when we can supply them for ourselves with diligence and from the help of the Lord. If you can do it yourself, do it. Quit milking the system out and asking for handouts. It's important that we understand that. I simply made a note here. Beware of government assistance when you do not need it. Just because, I have a statement here. Remember, just because you can, do not mean you ought to do it. Well, it's available. Do you need it? Is it necessary? Then you don't need it. Be content. And let it be used for those who are, the needs are real. important. I want to tell you the story about a man by the name of James Braddock. He was a heavyweight champion boxer in the mid-1930s. He was on his way to becoming a champion until he began to be hampered by hand injuries and started losing and had to quit and start working as a longshoreman. During the Great Depression, when things got tough, he had to accept government assistance. During his time as a longshoreman, something unique happened to his hand, and they became extremely strong, strong enough to return to fighting on the side to pick up some extra money for his family. His recovery was complete when he won the heavyweight title in 1935 against a heavily favored Max Baer. Braddock felt humiliated having to accept government assistance. After his boxing coming back, Braddock took his money and returned all the welfare money he had received. He gave it back. Not only did he give it back, all of it, he made frequent donations to various charities, and he fed homeless people by inviting them to meal with his family. When life got good, he didn't consume it upon himself. He gave back so that money could be used to help others in real need. How many people done that since they've gotten government assistance and actually return it back? I bring that story up. He make no pretension to being a Christian, but he is a principled man, and a man of principles, and a man who realizes this fundamental principle: I need to take care of myself and do everything I can and take nothing from anyone unless absolute dire need. We are to be self-contained but not self-dependent. What do I mean by that? We must be God-dependent. We need to work hard so we can take care of ourselves. That's what I mean by the idea of self-sufficiency. But never apart from our trust and need for God to help and enable us and strengthen us. We need to be God-dependent people. Always trusting and praying to Him to provide. Psalm 52, verse 7 and 8. Here is a man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his own wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God, and I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Which are you? You trust in your money to get you where you want to go? Or you're going to be one, I'm going to be like an olive tree in the house of God, growing and flourishing. Jeremiah 9, we all know this one, but let me put it in the context of what our topic is this morning. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 4, thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. So if he's saying, if you're wise, you're mighty, and you're rich, verse 24, let him who glory in this, that he understands and knows me, and that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in thee I delight, says the Lord. But I wanted you to notice the second half of that verse that I talked about in Proverbs 23, verse 4. It said, first, do not overwork to be rich. Secondly, because of your own understanding, cease. Yeah, we heard that one before. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Well, I don't understand how, if I don't work hard to be rich, I'll not get anywhere. No, we're talking about trying to get rich. A lot of times that have this selfish motive behind it. Rarely is it in that context, oh, I want a whole bunch of money so I can help give it away. Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Isaiah 5, verse 21 says it this way. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. If you meet God's word and your wisdom is contrary to God's word and his wisdom, it is best to cease from yours and yield to his. That's what we're talking about. That's why he said it this way. Because of your understanding, cease. Stop. Desist. Perish that thought. Don't go there. Because trying to get work hard over much for the sake of the goal of wealth and riches is not a good goal. Also, one of the things we learn in Proverbs is that when you, in your getting, obviously in your getting, get wisdom, in your gaining wealth to try to get ahead, we need to be generous towards others in the need with our wealth. God has always wanted us to be other-oriented, compassionate and merciful people. Proverbs 22:9, he who had the generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. God blesses those who give. He said it another way in Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 5. There is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right but leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. A beautiful picture that when you give, God gives seed to the sower. When you throw seed out, he gives you more seed to do. When you bless others and help others based on the fact that God has blessed you and you're helping others, God's going to see that you're okay and provided for and cared for. But if you're going to be one of those hoarders and stingy people that are all about me and count my coins and make sure I got a, you know, and you got people all around you in need, and you got more than enough. I remember hearing the story of the wealthiest man in America in the middle of the 1900s, Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller. Somebody asked him the question one day. He was a multi-million billionaire. I don't know. He was just off the chart wealthy. How much is enough? A dime more. When you get that, it's a dime more. When you get that, it's never enough. That's greed. Proverbs 13, verse 7, there is one who makes himself rich yet had nothing, and one who makes himself poor and yet had great riches. Again, in the context of compassion and giving. So, beloved, in summary, we need to also see from our verse list, we need to be patient in our work. It's not about trying to get it quickly. It's about staying the course, being faithful during the long haul. Also, it talked about do your work in the spirit of truth and with contentment. One of the wrong attitudes about gaining wealth is certainly, I've already touched on it, but I'll touch on it a little bit more, the idea of greedy, envious, or covetous. Proverbs 15, verse 27, he who is greedy for gain troubles his own house. You not only trouble your life, but you trouble your home. Why? Because all you're worried about is making another dollar, another dollar, another dollar. And all your mind is consumed with how to move this and to do that and to get another dollar. And yet your home and your house falls apart. We have many biblical examples of those who paid a dear price for their greed. Achan, Eli's son, the sons of Samuel, King Saul, Elisha's servant Gehazi, King Ahab, Judas, Demas, others. We can go on and on. God had given us many illustrations. Here's what happened when you're given over to greed and covetousness. We are to avoid greed and covetousness. Clearly, Psalm 119:36, incline my heart to your testimony and not to covetousness. Either or. I want to love and be taken and enraptured by your word, not my next dollar. Luke 12:15, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possessed. That's why I told you I abhor the book, the bumper sticker that said, he who died with the most toys wins. No, he who died meets the Lord and have to give an account. But here, Jesus was saying to the people, take heed. Your life goal and worth is not based on how much you can accumulate. Much bigger and better than that is God himself, his kingdom and his work. He said that twice about the importance of not wanting to try to get rich and wealthy quickly. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will abound with blessing, but he who would hasten to be rich will not go unpunished. Because people who are in a hurry to get rich usually will step on people along the way and violate a lot of biblical principles and dishonor the Lord. Proverbs 28:22, a man who had an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. I'd like saying, if you gain your wealth quick, you lose it quick. Point number three, never trust in your own wealth. Proverbs 23:5, will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Proverbs 27:24a, for riches are not forever. We must never put our trust in our wealth. Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in his riches will fall. Jeremiah 17:11, as a partridge that brood but does not hatch, so is he who gets riches but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end he will be a fool. Turn with me to Job chapter 31, please. Keep your finger there in Proverbs. But Job chapter 31. I found this to be a stunning passage for our message. Job 31. While you're turning there, this is Job's final defense. In chapter Job 27 to 31, he's given his final defense to all of his friends, to everybody. And from that point on, he doesn't talk until he talks to the Lord after the Lord confronts him. For those taking note, Job 31, verses 24 through 28. Notice his defense here. If I have, verse 24, made gold my hope, or said to find gold, you are my confidence. If I have rejoiced because of my wealth was great. The idea there is that I took great joy and delight in my wealth, when that should be always towards the Lord. And because my hand has gained much, again, he stating the obvious, I did it, not the Lord, my hand. Then he said something unusual, but it's explained in verse 27. If I have observed the sun when it shines, or the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart had been secretly enticed, and my mouth had kissed my hand. What is he saying there before we go on? First of all, the idea is if I have looked at the sun and was moved by its absolute brilliance and glory and splendor, and I look at the moon likewise, that it secretly in my heart entice me or move my heart away from God to worshiping the idol of the skies. Or, he went on to say, and my mouth hath kissed my hand. Now that was an unusual phrase. I had to do some work to find it. But that was in the days of antiquity. This was a form of worship. It was a very common thing in customary and ancient worship to kiss the idol that was worshiped. For example, remember Elijah when he was being shaved by Jezebel after his encounter with the prophets of Baal, and then Jezebel came after him and he went in hiding, and God said, "What are you doing here?" And he said these words in 1 Kings 19:14, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altar, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Okay? Woe is me, I'm the only one standing, he's saying. We know the answer, but often we miss the second part of the answer. The answer is found in verse 18. You don't need to turn there if you want to know the reference. 1 Kings 19, verse 18. In God's answer, he said, this is the part we know, "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal." And then he said this, "And every mouth that hath not kissed him." It was very customary in the idolatry and worship of antiquity to kiss the idol. But when that idol was not within reach and they couldn't kiss it, for real, they take their hand, kiss the hand, and throw it toward the idol. That's what Job was saying. If I look at the sun and get secretly enticed by the beauty and the glory of the sun and the moon, that I worship them by throwing my worship. Notice what he said. Verse 28. "This also would be an iniquity deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above all." And it was in the context, beloved, if I put gold as my hope and confidence, if I have rejoiced and delighted in my wealth instead of God who gave it to me, and on, even to the point if I began to show my worship to the stars, and to the sun and to the moon, so to speak, that would be wrong, because I would have denied the Lord above all of you. We have to be careful for the sake of time. We're not going to go through this. I know what's going to happen if I start. You need to want to write this down, Luke 12, 16 through 21. But I do want to look at Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Our Lord himself said that, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in to steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Always, wherever you're sending your resources, that is where your heart is. You can talk all you want. Follow the money. Where did your money go? Where did your money go? Because we're going to give an account for it. So in closing, real simply, quickly, basic principles we need to learn is the fact that we need to honor God with our wealth. At the end of the day, it belongs to him, and we must be good stewards of it. Next, we need to remember wisdom is more important than money. Righteousness is more important than money. Fear of the Lord is more important than money. Wisdom is more important than money. And all you're getting, gaining, searching, stretching, reaching, being diligent about, go after those things. Always, and be careful to recognize and avoid the evil that money can cause in relationship. People use money in a way that damaged relationship. How do they do that? Well, sometimes they do it by funding causes that they had no business funding. Sometimes they do it by showing favoritism. Sometimes they do it to manipulate. I've seen parents even manipulate their own children with the use of allowances. I'm not against allowances. There are good carrot rewards, so on and so forth, but it's another thing to manipulate and control people, not with love, not with guidance, not with protection, not with being all that you should be as a parent, but all you have is the polling card, your final card, your strongest card, is your wallet. I remember having to reprimand a member many years ago here on that. Said, I know how to get them to do what I want you to do. That doesn't sound like a God-fearing man who gets on his knee to pray for God to move on the hearts of his children. Not the wallet. Love, instruction, help. Recognize the potential good that money properly used can have, such as furthering the gospel, kingdom work, helping the poor, widowed, orphans, and those with dire needs. Remember, God blesses those who give generously and withhold it from those who are stingy and hoarding for selfish reasons. Remember what James said, if you have not, because you ask not. But if you ask and don't get it, it's because you want to consume it upon your lust. Selfish goals and ends. I want to close by reading the fuller version of 1 Timothy 6. Turn with me and let's look at that. 1 Timothy 6. I'm just simply going to read it and close. 1 Timothy 6, for again, for the notes, 6 through 12. I think it encompasses everything we learned this morning. Verse 6 to 1 Timothy 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we will carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Let's pray. Father, may we be good stewards of the money and resources that you have given to us. Help us to be faithful to you. May we work hard. May we learn the meaning of diligence and to do it always for your honor and your glory, to provide for those around us. Help us to never seek money for money's sake. Wealth for wealth's sake. Never hurt to have extra. Things happen. Preparation is good. You did tell us to consider the ant, though, who is wise and always prepare ahead of time. And so, Lord, help us to examine our work, our calling. Young people need to consider what they're doing, if it is the calling that is wholesome and good and useful for the good of their fellow man. Not simply because it makes money, but that this is their calling and that they will do it, not grumbling, not complaining, but thanking the Lord for the provision of the job, the provision of work. Work is good. And Lord, we pray that we would honor you and glorify you, not only in our work and through our work, but when we get our wages, may we truly give you the first fruit of any increase and give you again your rightful place, honor and glory in our resources as well as our hearts. Now, Father, be with us as we look to you for each day and its provision. In Christ's name, amen.